Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 164. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Hymn number 164. Dale from Virginia will read from the scriptures.
Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Psalm 145 and 146. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One,
thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 170. Let every creature hail the morn on which the Holy Child was born, and know through God's exceeding grace release from things of time and place. I listen from no mortal tongue to hear the song the angels sung, and wait within myself to know the Christmas lilies bud and blow. Hymn number 170.
Thank you.
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our daily lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our church website, plainfieldcs.com, and it will also be available on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our students do not live in the area, so they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend via telephone. Just call the main church number. We'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear testimonies of healings, lives made much, much better through the study and practice of Christian Science. Next week, we're not going to have a testimony meeting. Next Wednesday is Christmas Eve, and we are going to have our annual Christmas Eve service instead. And our Christmas Eve service will begin at 6 p.m. East Coast time, and it will consist of really fine music and readings. And we hope that all of you will be able to join us. If not in person, it will be broadcast over the regular church website, plainfieldcs.com. And that will be next Wednesday, 6 p.m., December 24th. Please join us for a wonderful, inspiring time. And we also have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. If you want to come to church in person, you can bring the whole family, and we would be very happy to see you. We have 21 different websites in different languages, and through those, we can reach just about anybody anywhere in the world, and in many cases, in their own language. And we're very grateful that many of you have found one of our more of our websites and have found the healing power and comfort of Christian Science. This is our missionary work, and we are very grateful to those of you who contribute financially to our church, because everything that we provide on all of our websites is provided free of charge. And I'd like to point out a lovely article that's now featured on our English website entitled Blessed Christmas by Doris Evans. It's what Christmas means. I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We're very glad to have you join us. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Michael from California.
Science and Health. Healed of infidelity and many physical ills. I feel compelled to write my testimony and hope that I may be accepted as one more witness to the truth as contained in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. In the year 1883, I first heard of Christian Science. I was sitting in a saloon in Leadville, Colorado, reading a daily paper of that place. My eyes lighted upon an article which spoke of some peculiar people in Boston who claimed to have discovered how to heal as Jesus healed. I do not remember much of the article, but those words stayed with me. I had drifted out to Colorado from New York City, my home, where I had been under the treatment of many leading physicians. The last one, who was too honest to take my money, knowing that he could not cure me, advised me to keep away from doctors and quit taking medicine, as nothing but death could cure me. My trouble was pronounced by some to be Bright's disease, by others gravel on the kidneys, with very acute inflammation of the bladder and prostate gland. In the spring of 1888, my wife and myself were spending the evening at the house of a gentleman whose wife had been healed in the East by Christian Science. The gentleman took a book from his bookcase saying, "Here is a work on Christian Science." It proved to be Science and Health. I knew as soon as I had read the title page that this was the very book we wanted. We immediately sent for the book, and when it arrived, we obeyed the angel and feasted on it. I was very much prejudiced against the Bible, and my first demonstration over self was to consent to read the four Gospels. My wife bought me a New Testament, and I began to read it. What a change came over me. All my prejudice was gone in an instant. When I read the Master's words, I caught his meaning and the lesson he tried to convey. It was not difficult for me to accept the whole Bible, for I could not help myself. I was just captured. The disease with which I had been troubled for years tormented me worse than ever for about 6 months, as if trying to turn me aside, but I lost all fear of it. I kept up my study of Science and Health, and the disease disappeared. I can honestly say that Science and Health was my only healer, and it has been my only teacher. R.A.C., Los Angeles, California.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational, spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon begins on page 26 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Is the universe, including man, evolved by atomic force? The golden text is from Jeremiah. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. The responsive reading is from Job. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him?
Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold.
Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off.
God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we can cannot comprehend.
Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding.
Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it?
When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Dede from Georgia will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Psalm. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Joshua. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hohem, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it had made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Luke. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abias, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called Barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Psalm. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Amos. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the winds, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name.
Florence will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Scripture informs us that with God all things are possible. All good is possible to spirit. Science reveals the possibility of achieving all good and sets mortals at work to discover what God has already done. Christian Science explains all cause and effect as mental, not physical. It lifts the veil of mystery from soul and body. He shows the scientific relation of man to God, disentangles the interlaced ambiguities of being, and sets free the imprisoned thought. In divine science, the universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. The creative principle, life, truth, and love is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. In the universe of truth, matter is unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Divine science, the word of God, said to the darkness upon the face of error, God is all in all. And the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. Mind, supreme over all its formations and governing them all, is the central sun of its own systems of ideas, the life and light of all its own vast creation, and man is tributary to divine mind. The world would collapse without mind, without the intelligence which holds the winds in its grasp. Neither philosophy nor skepticism can hinder the march of the science which reveals the supremacy of mind. The immanent sense of mind power enhances the glory of mind. Nearness, not distance, lends enchantment to this view. The compounded minerals or aggregated substances composing the earth, the relations which constituent masses hold to each other, the magnitude, distances, and revolutions of the celestial bodies are of no real importance when we remember that the all must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal. Material substances or mundane formations, astronomical calculations, and all the paraphernalia of speculative theory based on the hypothesis of material law or life and intelligence resident in matter will ultimately vanish, swallowed up in the finite, infinite calculus of spirit. The earth's motion and position are sustained by mind alone. There is but one real attraction, that of spirit. The pointing of the needle to the pole symbolizes this all-embracing power, or the attraction of God, divine mind. The planets have no more power over man than over his maker, since God governs the universe. But man, reflecting God's power, has dominion over all the earth and its hosts. The plant grows not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod, above earth and its environment, to conscious spiritual harmony and eternal being. If we pray to God as a corporeal person, this will prevent us from relinquishing the human doubts and fears which attend such a belief, and so we cannot grasp and the wonders wrought by infinite incorporeal love, to whom all things are possible. The miracle introduces no disorder, but unfolds a primal order, establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. Spiritual evolution alone is worthy of the exercise of divine power. In Egypt, it was mind which saved the Israelites from belief in the plague. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock and manna fell from the sky. The Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and straightway believed that they were healed of the poisonous stings of vipers. In national prosperity, miracles attended the successes of the Hebrews, but when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. The material so-called gases and forces are counterfeits of the spiritual forces of divine mind, whose potency is truth, whose attraction is love, whose adhesion and cohesion are life, perpetuating the eternal fact of being. Electricity is the sharp surplus of materiality, which counterfeits the true essence of spirituality or truth. The great difference being that electricity is not intelligent, while spiritual truth is mind. There is no vapid fury of mortal mind expressed in earthquake, wind, wave, lightning, fire, bestial ferocity, and this so-called mind is self-destroyed. The manifestations of evil, which counterfeit divine justice, are called in the scriptures the anger of the Lord. In reality, they show the self-destruction of error or matter and point to matter's opposite, the strength and permanency of spirit. Christian Science brings to light truth and its supremacy, universal harmony, the entireness of God good, and the nothingness of evil. Sometime we shall learn how spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. Christian Science presents unfoldment, not accretion. It manifests no material growth from molecule to mind, but an impartation of the divine mind to man and the universe. All that is made is the work of God, and all is good. The harmony and immortality of man are intact. We shall look away from the opposite supposition that man is created materially, and turn our gaze to the spiritual record of creation, to that which should be engraved on the understanding and heart, with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 153. In thee, my God and Savior, forevermore the same, my spirit hath rejoicing, for holy is thy name. My soul doth magnify the Lord, sing all in glad accord. Praise him who lifts the lowly, for faithful is his word. I magnify and bless thee, for faithful is thy word. Hymn number 153.
child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet.
Let's now sing hymn number 362. To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, and all the hosts of heaven. Hymn number 362.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen.